Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
No.
Did you sit in front of your TV for hours yesterday or listen for hours to the impeachment hearing and the testimony and the bickering back and forth? Stephen Farnsworth paid attention to it. He's a professor of political science and director of the Center for Leadership and Media Studies at the University of Mary Washington. And he is with us this morning. So what's your snap assessment of day three yesterday?
Well, I really think that opinions are very fixed on this process. I don't think that what these witnesses have to say is really going to move all that much in the way of public opinion, and even less in the case of elected officials, who almost all of whom are going to vote the straight party line, regardless of what's been said so far. That being said, I mean, on a factual matter, the testimony this week has been very damaging to the president. The previous Republican narratives about how the president wasn't involved and there isn't direct confirmation of presidential pressure, that's becoming less and less sustainable as the days go by.
I'm not sure that was the original assertion by Republicans, was it? That the president had nothing to do with it? I mean, he released the tape. He released the transcript, so we knew exactly what he said. The question was whether he did something that broke the law as written, and then on a lesser extent on the spectrum, whether there was something that was inappropriate. And I think we've reached a point with the hearings where there's a differing opinion on whether it's appropriate or not for the president to do this and whether that rises to the level of throwing him out of office.
Well, and the calculations, I think, as I said a moment ago, are really going to be made largely along partisan lines. Mm-hmm. The evidence, though, is significantly different from as the weeks go by in terms of this testimony, because the idea that Ukraine was not pressured, that money was not being held up in a connection with an investigation on a political rival. I mean, you have very, very damaging information that's being put forward. And in all honesty, I think the Republicans are making a serious mistake in keeping all of their potential witnesses on the bench. I think when Trump says that the Attorney General can't testify, that the Secretary of State shouldn't testify, that the Treasury Secretary shouldn't testify, when all these people are not part of the conversation, the narrative is going to look a lot like the Democrats want it to look like. And I think it's a mistake for the Republicans not to be more vigorous in putting more of their own top officials into this conversation.
Except I think they'd argue that they would wind up participating in a discussion which is pretty flimsy. I mean, you've got a bunch of staffers, senior staffers, and ambassadors talking about their emotions and feelings instead of about actual violations of the law. I don't know. What would Republicans gain from having their staffers out there talking about it, since we know what was said in the transcript and everybody can read it? Just push back a different perspective.
Well, it's important also to note that we do not have a complete transcript. The parts that the administration released are only parts of that conversation. And even within that, when the president says, "I need you to do something for me," though, when he's talking about releasing the funds, that's not a good look for the White House if they want to argue that there isn't this kind of pressure going on. I mean, ultimately, what has always bothered me about this whole story is this idea that the Congress has appropriated this money to protect a very vulnerable country, Ukraine, under great threat from the Russians. The Russians occupy a significant part of the country now. And I really find it deeply troubling when Congress and the White House agree to spend this money, that this money is being held up without telling Congress and without having the justification for the process being withheld. And that's really, really damaging. It's not good for American interests in terms of the conviction that allies can count on us, but it's also not good from the point of view of the appropriation process where Congress decides how the money is spent. I think that that this is all very, very troubling from the point of view of limited presidential power, which once upon a time was something conservatives were quite concerned about.
Yeah, well, wouldn't it bother you, though, if the president said, I really, you know, let's hand the money over to a new government. We're not sure if this government will be as corrupt as the old government. I'm not going to set down any parameters or limits, or at least check this guy to make sure he knows this isn't free money. There's some strings attached to it, not just about investigating what may have happened in our domestic elections in 2016, but, you know, don't count on the United States just giving you blank checks and then you go and blow it on whatever you want. And I think that's the counter narrative that is legitimate to suggest, don't you?
Well, of course, there was huge bipartisan majorities for supporting Ukraine, including Republicans in Congress.
Oh, yeah. There's no question.
And if the president had a problem with what was being done, then that should have been done in the public disclosure. He could have vetoed the bill. He could have withheld the funding. He could have established conditions working with Congress to make this process work in a way that was more acceptable to the president.
Isn't that in the law, though, Stephen, that all of this money that goes to Ukraine has to be is conditioned on investigations? But I think everybody did lay down that rule. So the president was actually enforcing
it. And the staff in the administration, the experts who were looking at this, the State Department, the Defense Department, had already said that Ukraine had met the standards required in the law for the release of the funds. If this were something, I think, that had operated in a more consensual way with the House and the Senate and the White House working something out, then I think the administration would be in a much firmer position. I think that that one of the weaknesses of the Trump presidency is imagining that running the White House is like running a personal business. Members of Congress do not work for the president, and it is a mistake, I think, for any president to imagine that they will simply take instruction and they appreciate and runs from a president.
President who runs foreign policy. The Congress gives the money and instructs, and then it's incumbent upon the executive to act on it. And it, you know, here's the thing. You've got President Trump asking about Joe Biden and investigation into Joe Biden. I can imagine some things that I personally, even as a Trump person, would hear that would concern me. Like, you know what? That board that that Joe Biden's son is on, he doesn't need to be on that board anymore. He needs to be off that. You know, direct instructions like we're going to screw over our political opponents. But the idea that after 3 years of demanding investigations by the president, you're not doing anything to find out what happened in 2016 and prevent it from happening in the future, that when the president actually articulates something that might get to the bottom of a very corrupt government, that crosses the line, that I don't buy that.
Well, I guess the problem also to me is this issue of a president who seems very selective in his concerns about corruption. I would love a president who was committed to rooting out corruption, but I find it really strange that we have a White House meeting with the head of Turkey. We have this very friendly relationship with Russia. We have an on-again, off-again relationship with North Korea. I mean, when you're talking about a commitment to free and open societies and an anti-corruption effort, that could be a much more aggressive effort on the part of this administration.
Well, maybe we'd be surprised.
The only country that's
maybe we'd be surprised if we got the transcripts of all those private conversations with various world leaders too. I mean, if this one seems to have risen into the public sphere because of Joe Biden. I mean, I understand what you're saying about it. It's never good for a president to go through this, and I think maybe Donald Trump would recalibrate if he knew that this was going to be the end result. But the reason we're talking about it is it sounds like a bunch of Democrat staffers thought, oh, my God, you're going to find out something negative about Joe Biden, or in their fantasy, they're going to make up something about Joe Biden and tank his candidacy. You think Joe Biden's wounded here? Do you think this has done damage to him, too?
I think it has. I think that this was a colossal mistake from the Biden family to put themselves in this position in the first place.
Well, I'm glad we agree on that. What a moron to let that happen.
We agree on a decent amount, but I do think that that I would like a president with much more consistent commitment to anti-corruption efforts, and I find it very. Very interesting that this anti-corruption concern is limited to this one country compared to some of the other countries that have such better relationships leader to leader with the president.
That we know of. But listen, Stephen Farnsworth from the University of Mary Washington, professor of political science. I really appreciate it whenever I get a chance to talk to you. Thanks for letting me tussle with you a little bit today.
All right. Yeah, thanks. It's always interesting. Have a good one.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.